I'd like to thank your minister for the opportunity now to come and bring God's word. And I wonder this morning, before we read God's word, are you possessed of a humble, thankful heart? Thankful for all that God has bestowed upon us. And surely even at this harvest time, our hearts should overflow with thanks for what God has given to us. We're going to turn, please, in the Word of God to Leviticus chapter 23, please. We'll read the first 12 verses of this chapter. Leviticus chapter 23, let's hear the Word of God. Commence at the verse 1. And here the Lord speaks. You know what? When the Lord speaks, we should listen. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, concerning the feasts of the Lord, which ye have proclaimed to be holy convocations, even these are my feasts. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest, and holy convocation. Ye shall do no work therein, it is the Sabbath of the Lord, in all your dwellings. These are the feasts of the Lord, even holy convocations, which ye shall proclaim in their seasons. In the 14th day of the first month at even is the Lord's Passover. On the 15th day of the same month is the feast of unleavened bread unto the Lord. 7 days ye must eat unleavened bread. In the first day ye shall have an holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein. But ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord 7 days. In the seventh day is an holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When ye come into the land which I give unto you, and shall reap the harvest thereof, then ye shall bring a sheaf of the firstfruits of your harvest unto the priest. And he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord, to be accepted for you. On the morrow after the Sabbath the priest shall wave it. And ye shall offer that day, when ye wave the sheaf and he lamb without blemish of the first year, for a burnt offering unto the Lord. Amen. And we know that the Lord will bless the public reading of his precious word. Let's just still our hearts. Eternal God and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity just to be still in thy presence. We thank you, Lord, that thou art God, and beside thee there is none else. We thank you, Lord, for thy providing, and Lord, even providing a harvest, Lord, to sustain our bodies. And Lord, as we come, we pray, Lord, that thou wouldst give us thankful hearts. Lord, we pray that thou wouldst give us thankful hearts for what the fields have produced. Lord, the life is in the seed. One sows and other waters. Yet, Lord, thou alone dost give the increase. We thank you for the physical harvest. Yet, Lord, we pray for a spiritual harvest. Lord, that we would see souls brought to life in Christ. O Father, that they would be brought in. We prayed that there would be a great reaping, Lord, even in these days. And Lord, as we consider thy word this morning, gird up the loins of our minds. Teach us, Lord, to think in these things. Lord, make us like the Bereans, to search the scriptures, to see if these things be so. Lord, help us to think. And Lord, most of all, help us to think biblically. Help us, Lord, to behave biblically. Help us, Lord, to behave in accordance with thy word. And Lord, we're commanded to be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Pray, Lord, that thou wouldst bless us in this time together. Bless hearer, bless speaker. And Lord, that our hearts shall be touched. We ask these things in Jesus' name and for his eternal glory. Amen. It's those verses 10 and 11 that I would like to leave with you and cause you to think upon. He says, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When ye be come into the land which I give unto you, and shall reap the harvest therein, then ye shall bring a sheaf of the firstfruits of your harvest unto the priest, and he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord, to be accepted for you. On the morrow after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. We're brought here to a harvest scene. Now, have you ever thought, what would be the outcome if there wasn't a harvest? If the fields didn't produce, if the corn didn't grow, if the potatoes didn't grow, what would happen to you and I? it would ultimately would happen to you and I. We would die. We would perish. Why? We've no food to eat. There would be nothing to sustain our health. And bodily, we would die. And yet, year after year, God provides a harvest to sustain our bodies. There's a physical harvest that provides life for the year to come, to keep us alive in the year to come. Do you know what? There's a spiritual application, because God has provided Jesus Christ for our souls, that we might have life. And as we think of this chapter, we have to bear in mind that this harvest in Israel, in the Orient, was around the same time as the Passover. Now, when we think today of the harvest here at this time in October, that wasn't the case in the East. The harvest took place around April time. In fact, around the time we would call Easter, when Jesus Christ was crucified. And we'll see the link between the harvest and the Lord Jesus Christ. I look and see the food sitting around the church. And you know what it does? It stands as a testimony. It stands as a testimony that there's been a harvest, that God has provided food. Have you stopped to thank the unseen hand of God for providing a harvest to sustain our bodies? But you know something else the harvest stands as? It stands as a testimony and a veracity of God's word. Do you know what God said to Noah all those years ago in Genesis chapter 8? He tells us, while the earth remaineth, while the earth is in existence, there'll be a seed time and harvest. There'll be cold and there'll be heat. There'll be summer and winter, day and night, and it'll never cease. Let me ask you a question. Do you believe God's word? God has said this would happen, and it has been so ever since. Let me ask you this morning, have you got confidence and faith in God's word and in God's promises? It has said and it has testified. The harvest speaks year in and year out to God's promises, to God's truth. The truth of God's word. And you know what? It will continue. Seed time and harvest until one day there'll be a final harvest. The Lord Jesus Christ alludes to it in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 39. He says about the harvest at the end of the world. But you know what? Maybe for some, this could be your final harvest. And what does the Savior tell us about the final harvest? A great spiritual harvest where there'll be a bringing in of the souls. There'll be a separation. There'll be a burning up of the straw. And if you were at harvest time in Israel, do you know what you would see? Through the whole of the land of Israel, you would see clouds of smoke. Why? The straw would be taken and burned. The barley, the wheat, it would be gathered up and treasured. It would have been taken and kept safely. I wonder this morning, are you a treasure to God? Are you in Christ? Are you bringing forth fruit? Are you and I fruitful Christians? Will God gather us in at the end? Or sadly we'll be lost and burned up in the final harvest? And here in this chapter, this verse 10, we've got a mention of the first fruits. And I say this, I want to get it in your minds, just to keep thinking about it. First fruits. Because Paul tells the church at Corinth about the first fruits. Now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Do you know what Paul has in mind? The harvest time. The first fruits. And who was the first fruits? Jesus Christ the righteous. What did he come to do? To provide life for her souls. And you see, this morning I just want to consider for a few minutes harvest, a symbol of God's mercy and God's grace. Have you ever thought of the harvest as a symbol of God's mercy and God's grace? It speaks to us of God's mercy towards all mankind, that sustains all of mankind. And yet we see Christ, who brings life to the soul. And I want to consider, first of all, the first fruits in the harvest. I said earlier on there, but the harvest would have occurred at the April time of the year, around the time of Passover. See, the climate's different. And seed time and harvest also would be a different time of the year as we're here. But to the Hebrew, the harvest time was earlier on in the year. And it's connected, as I've said, with Passover. And what happened at Passover? Do you remember they came out of Egypt? It was on the 15th day of Nisan. And what did it remind the Jews of? It reminded the Jews of deliverance out of Egypt. The blood of the lamb was sprinkled on the doors and the lintel. And because that blood was sprinkled in the blood, and that blood was sprinkled in the doors, you know what? The firstborn lived. Could you imagine being in Egypt that night? And the young boy saying, "Daddy, will I live or will I die?" He says, "We believe God's promise. The blood's in the door. God has said, if when it's there, I will pass over you. You'll be safe." What did it teach those Jews? It taught them substitution. That one would die in their place. This morning we're at harvest time. Now it's away from Easter when we think of Easter. But in the Jews' mindset, we had Passover. And closely linked with it was the harvest time. So we need to remember that. Get it in our minds that the harvest time was closely associated with the Passover. It can't be divorced from it. So it brings to our minds Passover lamb. And you know what harvest time? After the day of Passover, at sunset, representatives of the community went out to the fields. It had come a full harvest. And what they would do is they would go out after sunset. Now I have to remind you, this is an Oriental book. We've got some Jewish people come to the church, they're Christians, and they think differently than me. They think, he says, "I was doing my Bible reading last night." See, for Jews, the day starts the evening before. And it lasts through to the next evening. We think of 12 o'clock to 12 o'clock. They think about sunset as the beginning of the day. And after sunset, the next day after Passover, representatives went out to the fields. And what they did was they cut down a portion of barley. They only brought in a representation of the harvest. And they brought it before God. What for? To offer thanks. You see, months before, the seed had been sown. They had been sown in anticipation of a harvest. And now God has provided them with a harvest. And it has he caused the seed to grow. And when it comes to full ear, someone goes out and he puts in the sickle and he cuts it down. And here he comes before God. He says, "When you go into this land, when you reap this harvest, ye shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits." Now that word sheaf is a handful. Just bring a handful. What for? What was the purpose in their bringing it to God? To say thank you. That they would come with hearts of thanks for what God has provided for them. You see, they sowed the seed. Man, it is your responsibility. They maybe irrigated it, but you know what? They couldn't cause it to grow. It was God. And here were people and they were coming with thanks. Why do we come to church on a Sunday? To offer thanks and praise for God. What he has done for us. Now, I'm sure there were Jews that came to that offering and they came with apathy in their hearts. They just went through the motions. Their hearts weren't stirred up with the thanks that God had been, or thanks to God that God had provided for them. You consider the heathen. And do you know what the heathen did? They brought their grain to their gods. Do you know what? To seek and curry favour with God. Do you see the difference in their attitude and in their heart? There were those who had no thought of God. They thought they could come and curry favour with God by their attendance or giving. But often our worship, our offerings are coming to give thanks to God. I wonder this morning, is that the heart that's possessed in us? Do we come with a heart of thanks for everything that God has bestowed upon us? Here were those Jews, those children of Israel, and they were commanded to come and say thanks for what God has provided at harvest time. Have you paused to say, Lord, thank you? Have you paused to say, Lord, you have been good to me? Thank you. Is that the heart that is in each one of us? You see, the harvest reminds us that God sustains our life. The harvest reminds us that without food, we would die. God sent the rain. He sent the sunshine to provide the harvest. Do you see the mercy of God? Have you ever thought of God's mercy towards you in life? That He has brought you to this moment in time, and that God has been merciful to you, and yet you haven't even stopped to consider God, stopped to say thank you. What's your heart like at this harvest time? We see the merciful dealings of God with His people in supplying the physical need. And you know what God wants? He wants His people to be possessed of a thankful heart. To thank God for the provisions that He has provided for them. And here's the Jews. Do you know what they did? The very first thing, before they sampled themselves of the harvest, they gave to God. You know, what we do first shows us what kind of heart we have. You get up first thing in the morning, what do you spend time with? The television on? Do something else, get the paper and read it? Or is the first thing we do in the morning, we spend time with God? What we do first gives us an indication of our hearts. You see, these people, before they ever ate of the harvest, they came to say, thank you, Lord. The first day of the week, where should we be found? In the house of God, to say, thank you. Thank Him for what He has given us in the week that's passed. To offer our praise and thanks for His hand upon us and His mercy. And that He would bless us in the week that lies ahead. The first harvest was the barley harvest. It was brought in and it was ground in the mill. That handful that they was brought from the harvest, it was ground. It was bruised. It was crushed. And then it was waved. Now what does this word waved mean? The priest would take it and it was like up, down, east, west, north, south. It was the four compasses. What was it? That God was merciful to all men. And yet not all men were thankful to God for His mercy. In the harvest, God is merciful to all men. And yet here we have a picture of Jesus Christ. The barley, what is it? It's bruised and it's crushed. It's crushed in that pedestal. What for? To make bread. You see, bread, bread's a symbol of life. See, in the Orient, people don't cut bread with a knife. It's like cutting life off. Life is precious. Bread is precious. Why is it Jesus said, I am the bread of life? And we see, first of all, the first fruits in the physical harvest. But I want you to consider and stir up your minds to think of Jesus Christ, who is the first fruits. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and the verse 20. I believe this is where Paul was coming towards when he said, but now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the first fruits of them that slept. See this word, first fruits? Here we see a picture, I believe, of Jesus Christ and the harvest of souls. And it brings us to Jesus Christ. I wonder, are you thankful for Jesus Christ this morning? Are you thankful for what Jesus Christ has done? You see, Jesus Christ gave substance to the shadow of this ceremony of the harvest. There were two harvests in Israel. There was a barley harvest and there was a wheat harvest. The barley harvest happened first. You know what? Barley was the staple diet for the poor. See, the poor couldn't afford wheat. Wheat was the expensive grain. The only those with money could afford to buy wheat. Yet Jesus Christ aligns himself with the barley harvest. It was a staple for the poor. What did Jesus or God say? He says, I'll feed you with the finest of the wheat. See, when God feeds his people, he gives them the best. And yet here's Jesus Christ, and he aligns himself with the barley, with the poor. And what a picture we have in Philippians 2, verse 7 and 8. And we'll maybe just turn to it for a second there, and we'll see a picture of Jesus Christ in his great humility. Made himself of no reputation, and took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. See, Jesus Christ, he made himself of no reputation. It was like the barley that was for the poor. They couldn't afford anything else. And yet, doesn't Jesus Christ meet the need of poor, hungry souls? Look something else. He was a representative. He was that one who died in the room instead of his people. They only brought in a part of the harvest. They only gave a part of the harvest to offer thanks to God. And you know what? God was pleased with their offering, that he had come with thankful hearts. What a picture here we have of Jesus Christ. He wasn't just bread in a mortar. He was whipped. He was treated disdainfully. He was made accursed for his people. And he went to the cross at Calvary and died, crushed and bruised, wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him and him alone. And by his stripes we are healed. Do you know what? He, Jesus Christ, is his people's representative. He represents the rest of the harvest of his people. He gave himself. And do you know what? God was pleased with the sacrifice of his son. I wonder this morning, are you thankful for the harvest? But more than that, are you thankful to God for the giving of his son to become the first fruits, that he's our representative, that we might be accepted of God? We see the harvest around us, and maybe you just come and say, well, that's the norm, we just get it, and you're never caused to think about it. And maybe this morning, when you hear of Jesus Christ, you never think about him either. May you this morning be paused to think that Christ has become the first fruits of them that slept. God has provided for you and I a physical harvest. A physical harvest that meets the needs of our body. You know what? Something else God has provided. He has provided his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to meet the need of our souls. Without food, you'll die. And you know what? Without Jesus Christ, you'll die also. Would you be caused to look to Christ? That you would find life, and that we would have, and you and I would have a heart of thanks for what God has provided in his Son. Are you thankful for the harvest? I'm sure there's some hard-working farmers here earlier on in the year, and you've taken the seed. You've sown it. Why? You're confident of the harvest. And you're thankful for it. See, the first fruits, Jesus Christ. Are you thankful to God for providing salvation? What brought you here this morning? Routine? Because I do it every Sunday. You just go through the motions. Or maybe you even think by going to church that will rack up merit with God. You know, that's the heathen thought like that when they brought their harvest to their false gods. They thought they would curry favour with God. Yet, we need to come and be thankful for Jesus Christ. And unless God's Spirit works in our hearts, you know what? You'll never see it. And yet God has given us symbols in the harvest to cause us to pause and think. And he's shown us not just the shadow. He's given us the substance by providing Jesus Christ. That's why we preach Christ. He brings life to the soul. Because Jesus Christ has been resurrected, he is our justification. Do you know something else? There's some teaching here that we too will be resurrected. Some resurrected unto life, brought into the garner and stored, just like the time of harvest. But sadly, there'll be some resurrected unto eternal damnation. And that picture that Jesus Christ would often use of the straw being burnt up at harvest time. I trust that you'll be wise, that you'll consider these things, that you'll think upon eternal things. You'll think upon Jesus Christ, and that you would trust him as your own and personal Saviour. In this harvest time, that you would be garnered in and find peace with God, that you would have eternal life. You know what? Each one of us that are saved, that we would become fruitful at this harvest time. The fruit of the Spirit. Are we loving? Have we joy and peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, faith in our hearts? I say to our folks back in Bristol, to be more like Jesus Christ. You know what? Jesus Christ was filled with the Spirit without measure. And you know what the fruit of the Spirit is? Love. Have we a love? An indiscriminate love for those around us? Are we possessed of joy? Is there peace in our hearts? Is there long-suffering? Is there meekness? Is this fruit evident to those around us? And at this harvest time, God has blessed us with a bountiful harvest. Are we being fruitful? I look at the trees and I see the berries on it. And they're laden. And it's nearly a testimony that there's a bad winter coming. And what has God done? He's provided for the birds through the cold times that are coming. Possibly. But I wonder, are our lives laden with fruit at this time? Produced by the Spirit of God in our hearts. I trust that we'll be fruitful Christians. That we'll be caused to look to Jesus Christ. And that we will become more like him. And that God will fill our hearts with thanksgiving for all that he has done for us. Amen.